O Holy Spirit of God, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. I would be surprised if the name Ronald McNair is very familiar to you. It was certainly not to me. It is, though, possible that you heard about him this week, as did I. Ronald McNair was an astronaut. He was the second African American to fly in space. And he died in the Challenger disaster 25 years ago this past Friday, along with six others, in an event that is so etched into the minds of Americans that we can remember exactly where we were, and more importantly, what it felt like when we first heard of the explosion and saw video of those pieces of debris falling from the sky. But it is not because of Challenger, actually, that I want to mention Ronald McNair to you this morning. What I want to mention is something else that I learned about Ron McNair's life this week. Something that is, in its own way, maybe even more groundbreaking than his work as an astronaut. It involves an event in McNair's life many years before he was an astronaut, when he was just a boy in Lake City, South Carolina. It is a story that I heard his older brother, Carl, tell on the radio. It seems that one day in 1959, when Ron McNair was only 9 years old, he decided he wanted to go to the library. That is not too surprising for a nine-year-old with enough interest in science to end up an astronaut. So on this particular day, young Ron McNair set out for the public library in Lake City. He did not mention where he was going to his parents or to his older brother. Now, the problem, as Carl told the story on the radio, is that public libraries in South Carolina were, as Carl said, not so public for black folks when you're talking about 1959. So I'm going to use Carl's words to tell the rest of this story. They are much better than how I might paraphrase them. This is what Carl said on the radio this week. So as he was walking in there, all these folks were staring at him because they were white folk only. And they were looking at him and saying, you know, who is this Negro? So he politely positioned himself in line to check out his books. Well, this old librarian, she says, this library is not for coloreds. He said, well, I would like to check out these books. She says, young man, if you don't leave this library right now, I'm going to call the police. So he just propped himself up on the counter and sat there and said, I'll wait. When the police got to the library, two burly guys come in and say, well, where's the disturbance? And she pointed to this little nine-year-old boy sitting up on the counter. And he, the policeman, says, ma'am, what's the problem? By then, the boy's mother was also on her way. She comes down there praying the whole way there, Lordy Jesus, please don't let them put my child in jail. And my mother asked the librarian, what's the problem? He wanted to check out the books, and you know, your son shouldn't be down here. And the police officer said, you know, why don't you just give the kid the books? And my mother said, he'll take good care of them. So the librarian reluctantly handed over the books. And then my mother said, what do you say? And Ron answered, thank you, ma'am. I think this story has something quite directly to do with the gospel for this morning, which is a passage from the Gospel of Matthew from the beginning of what we like to call the Sermon on the Mount, a passage that we typically call the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are, to tell you the truth, I think, quite a strange collection of sayings. And I rather suspect that the people who heard Jesus say them on that day thought them strange too. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people revile you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. It is actually stranger than it sounds at first. For the word blessed is actually in Greek the word makarios, which really means happy. Happy are the poor. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are the meek. Happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Happy are you when people revile you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Substituting the word happy for blessed, which is its true meaning, makes Jesus' words even stranger and more difficult to understand. But I am quite sure that is exactly what Jesus meant. They only seem strange to us because we so easily associate our happiness with our circumstances. But for Jesus, the emphasis was not on what particular circumstances might make somebody happy, but on the people in those circumstances. Now, I don't know anything about the family circumstances of Ron McNair. I don't know if he was a poor child. I imagine it possible that a black child growing up in the 50s in South Carolina may have lacked some material resources, but beyond that, I can only speculate. I know, though, that he was persecuted for righteousness' sake, that he was reviled and maligned because of the color of his skin, as the events in the library that day attest. But I also know that he had the quality of character inside that little boy trying to check out books from the library. The kind of quality of character that led him to jump up on the counter and say, "I'll wait," when the librarian threatened to call the police. That is something, that quality of character, that I would use the word happy to describe. Deeply happy. Makarios. Blessed. It is, by the way, the same word that we use to describe a saint. Makarios. As in the Blessed Virgin Mary. Blessed John. There is something about the Ron McNairs of the world that Jesus is holding out to us in the Sermon on the Mount. There is something about the Ron McNairs of the world, and they are out there still, that Jesus hopes we might be like, that Jesus hopes we might try to be like. What Jesus is after, I think, is to separate our happiness from our circumstances, to help us to understand that our happiness, our true happiness, rests within ourselves, within who we are. That happiness is much more deep than our circumstances. Here's what I have learned over 55 years into a lifetime and 23 years into ordained ministry. It is something that is quite curious to me. There are some people, who, regardless of their circumstances in life, are not happy, ever. Their circumstances can be quite bad and they are unhappy, which is easy to understand. But their circumstances can also be quite good and they are just as unhappy, which is harder to understand. And the converse is equally true. There are some people who can be in circumstances that are quite good and they are happy, and that is easy to understand. But it is also true that their circumstances can be quite bad and they are still happy, which is harder to understand. Ron McNair, I think, was such a person. Such people tend to achieve much more in their lives than the other kind. Here's what I've come to think, and it is what I believe Jesus was getting at, because I certainly don't believe he was trying to say that being poor or mourning or persecuted were circumstances that ought to make us happy. That's crazy. What I don't think is crazy is that there is a certain quality of character that makes some people happy, regardless of whether their circumstances are good or bad. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I know I've seen it. I might call it resilience. I might call it fortitude. I might call it perseverance. I'm rather inclined to call it adventuresomeness, and I have often called it stubborn as hell. But I think Jesus would have called it Makarios, happy, blessed. There's one more delightful piece to the Ron McNair story. This past Friday, 2 days ago, the 25th anniversary of the Challenger disaster and the day he died, but that library building in Lake City, the one where he hopped himself up on the counter and told the librarian he'd wait for the police in order to check out the books he wanted to read, was named in his honor. It is a little Sermon on the Mount. Blessed indeed. Makarios indeed. Happy indeed. When his mother asked him, "What do you say?" that little boy looked at the white lady who had tried to have him arrested and said simply, "Thank you, ma'am," which gets at the quality I'm trying to describe. It is that quality behind what made Ron McNair a person I think Jesus would have pointed us to. It is that quality that led Ron McNair to conquer space and to conquer life and to conquer death. Blessed. Happy. Amen.